Bless.
Bless it.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, passed away in this past year on May the 10th, was Mrs. Wilhelmina Arnold-Dusen at the age of 91 years. Passed away on May 16 was Mr. Jacobus Johannes Visser at the age of 78 years. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us sing Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4, grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 25 to the end. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may gather together once again. We were together last night. We may be in thy house, and we may consider the end of all things, the end of our life, the end of the world, the end of the time of opportunity. And now we may be together again in this morning, and we may be privileged by thee to make a beginning. Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. We do not deserve that we may be together in this morning. not in the land of the living, not in a day of grace. But wilt thou give to us a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that thou art so long-suffering yet with us and with our dear children, and that we may have a desire planted in our heart by thee, and that indeed we may also be given a new beginning, a new life, and that may dwell in our heart, and that we may begin to love thee, that we may begin to fear thee, that we may begin to believe in thee, and that thou art, that thou existest, that we are traveling unto thee. Lord, wilt thou give us a beginning of a new obedience, an obedience that is not out of a slavish fear, an obedience that is not out of force, but a willing obedience, an obedience that is born out of love in our hearts. Lord, what a people that we would be when thou wouldst come and make a new beginning here in the midst of our congregation. Oh, what a life then that we shall begin to live. It will be the beginning of a warfare. It will be the beginning of a struggle. A struggle between an old man and a new man. Then it shall be rightly said, welcome in the strife. Lord, we beseech thee in thy mercy, that thou mayst so look upon us as a congregation in that year that we have now entered. The labors of each of us are so many here in this world. Many things that are lying upon us, but also the labors amongst us in thy house, they are also many. In the catechizing of the children and the youth, in the instruction of them in the school and in the home, and also within thy house, in the reading, in the preaching, in the visiting, the house visitations. Lord, thou knowest all the labors. Oh, shall it now be in vain? Shall it now be to no profit? Shall it now be as it was in the days of Noah, that there shall be none who will enter in into that ark? All mockers, Lord, wilt thou look on us in mercy? It shall so remain with us if thou doest nothing, because with all our responsibility and with all our human desires and intentions, it will all come to nothing, all testify against us. But when thou wilt come, when thou wilt begin, when thou wilt speak, oh, then it shall become so different. We beseech it of thee, Lord. For in thee is our hope, and in thee is our expectation, for the time that still remains for us and for our children. We are ignorant, and we do not know how long that time shall be. That is hidden from us, but thou knowest it, that thou may provide for us to extend yet for each one of us that time of opportunity in the year that is to come. But wilt thou also keep us from using that time in the ways of sin and to squander it away so that it is as a mockery before thy face, to provoke thee unto anger and to cut us off. Lord, that thou may remember the young and old together. Wilt thou be with those that have become old and infirm in the body? And may thou strengthen them, and may thou watch over them for good, that it may indeed be a year which is never to be forgotten, and that it may be a year to their profit and to the comfort of their never-dying souls, that thou may look upon us as parents in the bringing up of our children, in the time in which we live wherein Satan goes about, and with such forces and devices which are subtle. And Lord, that thou may strengthen us, that we may be enabled to decipher, to discern, between what is right and what is wrong, between what is good and what is bad. And that thou may grant us with our children to desire that best part. Look upon our youth. Oh, give to them also a little impression that it is a time which is passing away, that it is a time of opportunity, and that it is a time which is a gift, and that it is a time wherein they may seek thee. Oh, give the desire in their souls when they are still so very young, that they also may desire to be prepared for that great meeting with thee, and that they may desire that they also may be hidden under the shadow of thy wings. Oh, give them in the days of their youth to call upon thee and to experience that thou wilt answer such, and that thou wilt be with them in trouble, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt prosper them, and that thou indeed wilt show unto them thy salvation. Lord, draw them then, while they are still young. Look upon all that are not married, all those that have no children, all those that go over this world alone. And remember them in all their needs and cares, and all those that have special needs, needs of the body, but also needs of the mind. Wilt thou supply for them also, and give that they may feel something of thine everlasting arms underneath, thy strength, thy help, thy comfort, that may draw their hearts unto thee. Lord, look upon us as a denomination in the year that is before us, wherein there is so much that has come against thy truth, wherein also in the year that is gone by, that we must see that also thy servants must one day exchange time for eternity, wherein the mouth of thy servants one day does go closed, and that it does not speak anymore, that thou may bind this matter upon our hearts, that thou may bind this matter upon the hearts of our denomination, and that thou may give yet more servants into thy vineyard. For the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers, they are so very few, and the laborers, they are so very many. Lord, then, who is sufficient for these things? Lord, we beseech thee that thou would work with might and with power, that thou may send men that may help us in these labors, and that the vacant pulpits may be filled, and that thou may give that many also amongst us may need to be called in, that which is waiting before that last day will come, and that those that are still lying under that seal of election, that they may be called forth. Lord, give this to be bound upon our souls, for we cannot bind it upon ourselves. Look thou upon the nations in which we are living.
Lord, thou hast given that they may grow to be great nations in this world in which we live. But thou knowest how that after all that prosperity and after all the blessings that thou hast poured upon us, how that we have left thee, how that the laws even that are made before thy face, before thy countenance, and that they are serving this world, that they are idolatry, that they are bowing down to even the God of this world, to Satan himself, that thy law is put away, that the Sabbath is desecrated, that thy name is dishonored, that the children, the infants, the unborn are slain day by day. Lord, that thou may look so upon us in thy mercy, and wilt thou stretch forth thy mighty arm. Oh, deal not with us as we so justly deserve, to cut us off in thy just wrath and hot displeasure, but that thou may turn us again, Lord. Could it please thee to have dealings with us, that we may also not be left to go our own way, but that thy dealings may be felt and experienced among our nations, and that we may be brought to our knees before the holy and the righteous God, that we may be brought to turn again, and that we may repent of all our iniquities, that we may desire and that we may receive thy favor. Wilt thou look upon the world in which we live, where there is warfare, where there is terror? Lord, that thou thyself may watch over us in mercy, and that thou would put away the devices of the prince of darkness, and that thou would bring thy word unto the ends of the world, that thy gospel may be preached unto those who know it not in truth, and that many may be brought in to come to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and that we and our children may not be thrust out. Lord, look thou upon us in thy mercy. Be with all those that labor in thy vineyard. Encourage them over the length and breadth of this whole world. Do give to us strength, O Lord, for our labors. For thou knowest all our needs. Wilt thou give us courage to go forward in the work that thou hast given unto us also in the midst of this our congregation, that thou may give us wisdom, that thou may give us grace, that thou may fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that thou may give us love for each soul, and that thou may grant us a place upon our knees at thy throne of grace to beseech thee for this our flock, that thou may remember our consistory. Lord, stand on our right and on our left hand, and the elders, the deacons, and each one in our place to do the labors that are set before us, and that thou so may bless us even when we do not deserve it. Turn us and our children, our families, from the service of this world, and give us to flee all the temptations, to walk far away from that which leads to evil, that we may desire thy truth to be bound upon our souls, and that so that thou may bless us, and that thou may give that thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath, that is read, that is preached, that it may be sanctified, that it may be blessed. So look thou upon us even in this morning hour, when we are to bring thy word once again. Lord, help us. Wilt thou give us the words in our mouth? Wilt thou give us to do it in a simple way? Grant the earnestness in our heart that is necessary and that is right before thee, and in the need that is so urgent, and that thou may apply thy word by the power of thy Spirit. Forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them. Blessings from above, stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. We announce that the visiting hours for the family of Mr. Everett van der Bruinhurst are tonight at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Picture Butte Church. The funeral is scheduled for Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Psalter number 7, all stanzas. congregation on behalf of the consistory, we would like to wish each one of you the blessing of the Lord in the new year, the year 2010. It is a special day. It is a special day because it is the beginning of a new year. It is also the beginning of a new decade. And it has already been, therefore, 10 years ago that we have entered into the new millennium. How quickly has that time flown by us and our children? And that is the experience of those who become older, and that our time that seems to go faster and faster, so that time, like an ever-rolling stream, is bearing all its sons away. Soon, our time that is going to be finished also. And what then will be the profit? What will be the profit of our life when we do stand at the end of our time? We wish to consider something of this with you in this morning from Luke 10, and thereof verses 41 and 42. Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So far, the words of our text, Christ's declaration that one thing is needful. First, Martha cautioned, and second, Mary commended. Christ's declaration that one thing is needful. First, Martha cautioned, second, Mary commended. Martha, Martha, who congregation is Martha? Martha was a particular friend of the Lord Jesus. And not only Martha, but also her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. What a blessed household. John writes, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. What a wonder, fathers and mothers, if that may also be said concerning us and our children, that the Lord loved each one of us and of our seed. We see such a blessed, blessed household here in the words of our text. The Lord Jesus often visited this household. They lived in Bethany, that was not too far away from Jerusalem. And when the Lord Jesus would travel to Jerusalem, then he would often visit this household. And a visit that is something that shows the favor of the Lord. When may we receive such a visit? And is it our desire that we also may receive in the year that is to come a visit, children, that you also may receive a visit from the Lord? This is a household that also received the Lord Jesus. That is not so of every household, for and there were many that hated the Lord Jesus. And we know that there was no place for him often to lay his head. There were so very, very many enemies, and the Lord Jesus was also a man. The Lord Jesus also needed that rest for his body, and what was necessary also for his own human nature. Martha, Martha. We read in this chapter, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. We do not really know what Martha's circumstances were. Some think that Martha was a widow. This was apparently the house of Martha, and her sister and her brother, they live along with her. This occasion, we find that Martha, she makes a meal for the Lord Jesus, that he may be refreshed after his many labors. But to entertain the Lord Jesus for a meal, that was no light matter. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus didn't come alone, but the Lord Jesus always brought 12 more with him. They were children whom they were his disciples. And maybe it is your mother also that sometimes helps when we have in our midst a meeting of the classes. And when there are many men that are gathered together, and then there must also be for them something to eat. And then the ladies among us understand what that is, that is not just a light matter, but that there is so much preparation that has to go into providing this meal. But Martha is so willing. Though there is so much work to do, and why is she so willing? Because there is love. There is love that is living, there is love that is dwelling, there is love that is burning in that heart of Martha. And now for such a people, then there is in those times nothing that is too much for that people. Now, what do we read? That Martha, she was cumbered about much serving. Isaiah says, the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. What an honor that Solomon places upon an industrious woman. Only read Proverbs 32. That was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he is calling as such a woman that feareth the Lord. And then he is calling such a woman a virtuous woman. Is that such a one whom you are seeking out also, young people? One who is virtuous, one who feareth the Lord, a God-fearing husband, a God-fearing wife, one who is also very industrious. How much labor is involved in the multitude of details that go into running a household in this world? How much self-denial is not required by a wife, by a mother in such a household, when perhaps she may make many excuses to take her rest, and then she makes them not, but she is up and busy in the day, and she is up and busy also in the night. And thus the Lord is commending that untiring and that selfless energy of that faithful housekeeper. She is seeking wool and flax, and she is working diligently with her hands. Give her, we read, of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So that was also with Martha. So that was also with Martha in a special way when the Lord Jesus was in the vicinity. And when there were things that needed to be taken care of, when he would be tired, when he would be hungry, and then that love that would burn in her heart so that there was nothing too much for her to provide for him, then it was not only for his sustenance, oh, she had also a desire to provide for his delight. Oh, so eager was she that she may serve him. So eager was she that she may please him. But this Martha was also human. And that means that after a time, Martha also begins to become tired. That is so in your household too, is it not, children? That your mother, she is sometimes tired, young people. And what are you then doing when your mother is tired? Then are you ready to get up and help your mother? Are you willing to do that with a smile? Are you willing to do that cheerfully? Martha is also very busy. Everything cannot be good enough for that most distinguished guest that she has in her home. And what does she see? Then she sees Mary. And Mary, she is just sitting. What do we read? And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Thus Martha sees Mary. Mary is sitting. Martha is busy. Martha finally, as when she becomes tired, she becomes also frustrated. Probably she did not say something right away. She is quiet. She holds her peace. She keeps going. Maybe she hopes that Mary will see how busy that she is, how much that there is to do, that Mary will take some notice, that she is so busy that she also will come to help her. Thus she waits. But it does not happen. No, Mary, she continues to sit there as she is listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Mary seems to notice nothing. And then finally, Martha, she cannot bear it any longer. She becomes annoyed. And she becomes annoyed not only with Mary, but she becomes annoyed even with the Lord Jesus himself. Then it is not only does not Mary see how much that I have to do, but she says, what about the Lord Jesus now? Does he not see how busy that I am? Why does he not say something? Why does he not tell Mary that she should come and help me? And finally, Martha, she cannot keep her mouth closed anymore. And then you can hear that frustration that has been building up in her, that she is even coming with a rebuke of the Lord Jesus. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Congregation, we cannot imagine what is lying in the heart of a fallen man. There is actually in our hearts so much rebellion. And that is living even in the heart that has been granted something of that grace of God. When it does not go to our liking, when it does not go according to our wishes, and when we have to go through some way of trial, then really we are ready to rebuke the Lord. And we are ready to tell the Lord how that it ought to be, how that it ought to go in our life. We can hide it so long. But it is in the time of trouble, it is in the time of affliction, and that what is living and laying in our heart is coming out. And what does this Martha now expect? Martha now expects that the Lord Jesus would rebuke Mary. Martha now fully expects that the Lord Jesus will say, "Yes, Mary, now you should get up. Don't you see how busy that your sister Martha is, that there is so much to do?" And what happens? Then it happens just the opposite. Then the Lord Jesus gives to Martha a very loving and a very tender caution. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." There are two things in it. There is, in the first place, a commendation. There is, in the second place, a caution. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He recognizes something in that life of Martha. He recognizes her hard work. He recognizes her great diligence. He recognizes her self-denial. He recognizes her selflessness. He recognizes the care that is coming forth to him and to all his disciples. "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." He recognizes that that is coming out of a heart of love, coming out of something that he has himself placed in that heart of Martha. But then he also cautions her. What does he say? He says, "Martha, you go beyond what are your proper limits." Cumbrance. The Lord Jesus says, "I do not need to be served with such a lavish meal, Martha. I do not need to be served with so much toil and labor. With me, Martha, it really would be sufficient if it was done at a much less expense. With me, for all the things that are in this world, it really would be sufficient if it would be done with much less labor." And why? Because, Martha, all this labor that has become a distraction to you, that is now the word we read in cumbrance, that she is cumbered with much serving. The word means that she was distracted, that she was drawn away from something, distracted from something with all her serving. What does the Lord Jesus say to her? "Martha, Martha, you do not take advantage of my visit. You want to serve me. That is so very, very good. That comes out of the love of your heart. But Martha, have you no desire to hear now what I have to say?" Would that not be to Martha, to me, Martha, a grief? And therein he commends Mary, that is our second thought. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Thus, the Lord Jesus comes to the defense of Mary. Comes to the defense of Mary, who is sitting at his feet. What do you think, children? Is that fair? Must Martha then do everything? Must she do that all by herself? Should that all then be left up to her? And that Mary, she may then just do nothing? Oh no, that is not how it is. Certainly, certainly Mary, she has also helped in all this preparation. Certainly, Mary, she has also desired that everything would be nice. Mary also loved the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary was of such a different character than was Martha. Mary was more contemplative. Mary had a much more meditative character. We see that later, when it was Mary that, after Martha had prepared another great feast for the Lord Jesus, Mary, that she has seen into that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that was coming. It was Mary who did bring forth that precious ointment, and did see that now that time was coming, and that time was there that he should be anointed for his burial. Oh, Mary. Mary, she thinks, oh, it is not so often that I get this opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary says, and that this moment cannot be let go. No, she cherishes such moments, because that word of the Lord Jesus, that is so precious to her. And then she feels so much her ignorance, and she desires that she may be instructed by the Lord Jesus. And then what happens? Oh, when she has such a desire for these things, then everything that is in this world, and that is losing its significance, it is losing its importance. Then all the dainties of this life, all the niceties of this life, and they are coming so in the background. And there are other things that gain the preeminence. There are other things that are so much in the foreground for that people. And so the Lord Jesus commends her. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. One thing is needful. What does that mean? Is there really but one thing that is needful? Is everything else then of no importance? Are there not so many things that are indeed needful? Is there not a work of our hands that must be done? Oh, that is not what the Lord Jesus means. He does not say that there is nothing needful actually in this life. No, not at all. But he says now, in comparison with those spiritual things, then those temporal needs, those temporal things, they are fading away in importance. There is no way that these two things are able to be compared. And when we will lay them together in the balance, then indeed, then there is one thing that is brought into the foreground. Then indeed, then it may be said, and that there is one thing that is needful. Yes, all those things need to be done. But all those things are passing away. All those things are soon going to be gone and over and done. And then there will be only one thing that is left. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Oh, Mary has chosen that best part. Mary has chosen to sit at my feet. Mary has chosen to hear my words. She has chosen to hear the words of eternal life. Is not that the place? When the Lord did cast out that devil out of that demoniac man, oh, when he was now in his right mind, was that not the place that he desired to come and to sit even at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, is that not the place, Martha? Is not that the place where your soul may now receive a feast? Is your feast, Martha, is that really better than that feast that I am able to give you? Your feast that will last a little time. And it is good, it is delicious, but then we are going to hunger again. But Martha, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, he shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me, he shall never thirst. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Mary has chosen to labor not for the meat which perisheth, but she has chosen to labor for that meat which endureth to everlasting life. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, shall I now disturb her in that very holy, in that very profitable employment about which she is going, in which she has chosen to engage herself? Must I then disturb her that she should get up and that she should serve me? Oh, if she was a woman of sloth, then it would be different. If she was a woman that was lazy, then Martha, yes, then I would rebuke her. But it is not so. No, she is Martha. She is a woman of wisdom. She has made a distinction. She has made a distinction, not between what is bad and what is good, but she has made another distinction. She has made a distinction between what is good and what is better. She has made a distinction between what is good and what is actually the best. Between what is good, but what is still lacking, what is still insufficient, and what is the best, and what is fulfilling, and what is abundantly sufficient for time and for eternity. Mary has made that distinction. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She has chosen that which is highest, that which is the best, over that which is good but inferior. And shall I take that away from her? She has chosen what is spiritually good over that which is naturally good. And shall I take that away from her? She has chosen that which is supremely good over that which is subordinately good. And shall I take that away from her? No, Martha. No, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. No, I will not take it away from her now, because it is not always in her power. She has not always the opportunity to sit at my feet. There is not always such a favorable time for her, Martha. Therefore, I will not have her to miss it. Not now and not ever. Because that good part that she has chosen, that will last forever. When all that inferior good is passed away. Let us sing Psalter 55, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me. With plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 55. Congregation, it is the first day of the new year, 2010. This year, the Lord willing, that will go by very, very quickly. It will go by as quickly as last year. And so our life, that is going to fly by us. Do we ever set ourselves? Do we ever set ourselves, as it were, at the end of our life? Do we ever set ourselves at that place where we will look back upon our entire life, and when we will take a view of what our whole life has contained? When we come to the end of our life, then it is going to be so evident that indeed there was one thing that was needful. Then we are going to see it. Of that we may be certain. And when we look back, how many things are we going to regret in our life? No, I do not speak about evil things and wrong things. That is indeed the choice of our natural heart. But by common grace, the Lord, He restrains man that He may give him to walk outwardly in the way of obedience. That it may be outwardly his natural choice. We hope, young people, that it is not your choice to live openly in the ways of sin that are in this world. And yet, even when that is not our choice, it is still not enough. I know that your question that is often, what is wrong with this? What is wrong with that? That is not even necessarily the point, although sometimes it is. But there are many things. They are still lawful. But do you know what they are not? They are not that good part. They are not that best part. There are so many things that are lawful. But do you know what they are? They are a cumbrance. They are a distraction from that one thing that is needful. They may even be good. They may even be very good. But they are not that good part. They are not that supreme good. What shall it now be for us? If we may partake and when we may do all the good that is in this world, and that we may receive all the good that is in this world, and that we miss the best part, will it not be our own fault? Because it was not our choice. How is it, fathers and mothers? Are we also cumbered? Cumbered with much serving? A life that is so busy to provide for our household fathers, to run our household mothers. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, home, health, income, status, what is the best for our children, spouses, education, prosperity in this life. All good. Many necessary things. And yet, they are not yet that one thing needful. And yet, with all their good, with all their necessity, they are not yet that good part. They will not satisfy. They will not last. One day an end is going to come to all these things. Then it will be seen that though it was good, it was not that best part. It was not that good part. It was not that most essential part. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Oh, we stood once at the deathbed of a woman. And indeed it was a woman who was so careful and troubled about many things. And on her deathbed, and then she looked up at me and she said to me, oh, she said, I spent my life, my whole life, worrying about the pictures on the wall, whether they were straight, and to be sure that there was no dust on the tables, and that everything was just so. And she says, now I have to die. Congregation, in our text, the Lord sets something over against something else. What does he set? He sets many things over against one thing. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Is there not such a multitude of these many things? A multitude of things to be careful, to be troubled about. Those many things seem to increase in our days because Satan is also busy. That man would make his choice, even those who are going to church Sabbath after Sabbath, that have rejected the evil and the bad of this world. Indeed, yes. Oh, then let them choose the good. Let them choose the good of this world, as long as they do not choose that good part, as long as they do not choose that best part, then we will keep them busy, busy, busy with all the things that they may call good. Oh, what a wonder if that one thing is not swallowed up in all of those many things, that we miss that best part in the end. How many of those many things, congregation, do not come in the way of that one thing? How many things do not come in the way of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? When Satan breaks down the simplicity of our life in this world, how many things do not try to come in the way of us coming up unto that house of the Lord? Things that are inferior to that best part? How many things do not prevent us from reading God's holy word in our secret chamber? How many things in this world do not prevent us from spending time upon our knees before the Lord? How many things do not draw away our concentration, that we are not able to meditate upon that word of God? Oh, what is it that the Lord Jesus is saying to Martha? Oh, not that all your busyness is wrong, no. But when your busyness, when that is keeping you away, when that is preventing you from sitting at my feet, when it is preventing you from making use of those precious opportunities in your life, then all your good things, they have gone too far. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. No, not to foster a life of laziness or even of solitariness, as Rome does with this text. To say that men should be as a monk or to go and sit by himself, because that solitary life, away from society, away from everything, well, that will give a person a more holiness? No. But the Lord Jesus says only that there is something that is such a superior excellency and that is worthy of our choice even in a natural way. There are no figures. There are no figures in this world that are able to show how worthy that this good part is. Mary sat. Mary drank it in. Mary could not get enough of it. Congregation, will that also be our desire? Will that now also be our practice in the year to come? Moth and rust does not corrupt it. Thieves do not break through to steal it. And when death comes, then it cannot be taken away. Do you see all those things that your eyes may behold? All those things that your hands may handle? This good part that is going to outlast every one of them. No, that good part is not going to be taken away from everyone that finds it. Or will you not seek for it? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. People of the Lord, Matthew Henry writes that one day Martha is going to wish that she sat where Mary sat. Why? Because Martha missed the blessing? No. Not because Martha missed the blessing. No, we read the Lord Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And congregation, how in need we are also of those Marthas. With the love of the labor of their hands. But now Mary, she may receive more instruction. She may receive more insight. Martha thought it was the best part, if she may serve the Lord Jesus. And indeed, that is a good part. That is a good part. That is a great privilege. But it is not the best part. What is the best part, people of the Lord? Is that not then when you may be served? Not when you may serve, but when you may be served by the Lord Jesus. Is that now not the good part? Is that now not the part that is to the comfort of your soul? And is that now not the part that is so to the glory and to the honor of his name? Because he says, I came not to be ministered unto, but I came to minister. The Lord remember you. In this year that is to come, and give us together. Give us together a place at his footstool, that we together may be ministered out of his fullness. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, give us that good part, and give us to choose that good part. By nature, we make choice elsewhere, thou knowest. Oh, look upon thy people. Give them more and more to come to an end of all of their own labors, that there they may lay with Mary at thy footstool, and that there they may experience more and more the meaning of free and sovereign grace, to receive everything and to receive that peace and that rest in their soul and that passes all understanding. O Lord, remember us in this year. Grant this in the midst of us undeservedly. Keep us in the remainder of this day. Remember all those who have lost their loved ones. Remember in these days when the wounds are perhaps open again, and when they are in the midst of our community, even fresh wounds. Supply for them in these days. Keep us from all iniquity, danger, and harm, and bring us with desire to thy house again on thy day. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that was sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 4 and 5. And after we sing, we'd like to ask the congregation to remain seated. Psalter 421, stanzas 4 and 5. From strength to strength, thy children dear, go forward till they all appear in Zion's courts, God's holy mountain. 4 and 5 of Psalter 421. Thank you.
And it's also a custom that we may say a few words to you, to your wife, the congregation. And that we may just say many words. We have heard already enough this morning. I only thought if it was fitting what we could also read. And that in 1 Peter 1 and then the last two verses, I would just like to read those. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Okay. Reverend, as Charles has mentioned, also in your prayer this morning, all things in this world come to an end. 2009, it is past. Now we're in 2010. Here it says, for all flesh is grass. For all of us also, the end will come. But especially in the last verse where it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And that is actually our hope and our expectation. That the word of the Lord, that is forever, through all the ages the same. And also we may believe in 2010. And then it says also, and this is the word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's unto us. That may now be your work. The Lord has sent you. The Lord has given you a commission, that you may bring that word, which is everlasting. And that word, also within the gospel, how you may have ended. Is that now not a joy, people of the Lord? That sight that they may have, what it may yet be hereafter. Here in this world, it will be yet full of troubles. And only a days of 10 days, a tribulation of 10 days. But then all the rest. And then, Reverend, it may be your work to bring unto us death in Adam, life in Christ. Then it also may yet be told unto us that if there is no change, if there is no conversion, woe unto us. But yet also the other side, that may be preached unto us in the gospel, that it may also be brought out clearly, also in this year. And then I know there may be many fears without, and also fears within. How shall it be now this year? Has the Lord not helped in 2009? Has the Lord not helped Sabbath day after Sabbath day? May it also be together then, with your wife and your children. That your hope and your expectation may yet also be in the Lord alone. And that so you may be faithful unto your commission. That also for us as consistory, that we may stand at your side. And that we may also lay it much before the Lord. The need also for you in the bringing of his word. Which on man's side, it's impossible. And then also for us as congregation, if I may use this opportunity also in this moment. The Lord has sent unto us man. The Lord has not sent to us an angel. It's not Angel Gabriel who's standing here. But it is also a man of like passion as you and me, all of us together. Who also knows what it is, what lives in our heart. But then my question is this morning. How has it been in 2009? Moses, Aaron and Aaron and her. I know we don't have Moses here. It's a good thing. Otherwise we only had the law. We may have law and gospel. Moses, Aaron and Aaron and her. How many times have we laid upon our knees, especially for us, brothers, how often have we laid upon our knees, and may also yet ask that the Lord may yet also help our minister, and also friends, I may believe that here in Fort McLeod, we have heard the truth, what it is. We have heard what it is, that man needs to be converted. May that not testify against us. May we then together also yet and also be upon our knees, often in this year, also asking that the Lord may remember our servant. And then also I would like to close with that also. What we can find in Psalter 416. David also, Reverend, had many fears. Fears without and fears within. And yet in that Psalter 416, the fifth verse, then he could also say, but the Lord will send salvation. And by day his love provide. He shall be mine exaltation. May it also be for you, and my song at eventide, on his praise, e'en in the night, I will ponder with delight, and in prayer transcending distance, seek the God of mine existence. Congregation, let us sing this standing in place of the doxology this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Brunn, for your words, and we hope that indeed that word of the Lord may endure forever in the hearts of each one of us. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.